Well, yesterday I had the great privilege of bringing an entire family into the Catholic Church. This was a family of a mom and dad and seven sons. And they were just a beautiful evangelical Protestant family. And when their pastor converted to the Catholic faith 13 years ago, it began the thinking process. They began to read and study. And during the last 13 years, especially during the last 5 years, they read over dozens and maybe even 100 books on the Catholic faith and worked through all the issues. And I began working with them quite a while ago. And yesterday received the sacramental grand slam, right, with all the sacraments. They received a confession before the Mass, and at the Mass they made the profession of faith. They some of them had needed conditional baptism. And then we did the sacrament of confirmation to all those that were old enough, and they also made their first Holy Communion as well. So the entire family, they come to the 9:30 Mass. That's why you just missed them. I introduced them to everybody at the 9:30 Mass, but the husband, Greg, will be one of our guest speakers at RCIA coming up in the near future. Now, why they entered the Church, of course, was for many reasons. One is to receive the Lord in the Eucharist on a regular basis, but also one of the reasons, too, had to do with today's Gospel reading. Jesus is teaching about marriage and the indissolubility of marriage and the unity of marriage and the rich blessing of children that the Bible talks about today. And so they saw other churches, you know, changing the teachings on marriage and on respect for the sanctity of human life. And so more and more they felt that they were called to the Catholic Church. And so today's gospel was so appropriate because this is one of the key passages that led them into the Catholic Church, because the Church is very strong in upholding the beauty of marriage, and the Church's teaching on marriage is so rich in its tradition. In today's gospel, we see the Lord talking about marriage, and he says a couple important things. He says, first of all, that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's a very important point in our society today. Secondly, he talks about the unity of marriage, that the two become one flesh. And then the Lord talks about how marriage is indissoluble until death do you part. And he talks about what God has joined, man must not divide. And then the Lord talks about adultery and to divorce one's wife and marry another, or divorce one's husband and marry another, Jesus says, is living in adultery. So the Church is always upheld these basic truths of marriage, that marriage is a permanent relationship, it's a faithful relationship, it's a life-giving relationship. Really, marriage is a covenant between the husband and wife, and it reflects God's faithful love for his people. God have had a covenant relationship with his people, and so marriage is to be a reflection of God's faithful love for his people and a covenant relationship. Also, the Bible says that marriage should reflect Christ's love for his church, his bride. Well, how did Jesus love his bride? Look at the cross. When you see the crucifix, you see what true love is. True love is total. True love is sacrificial. True love is unconditional. And the Bible says that Jesus had that love for us, that love for his church, and that husbands should love their wives. Wives, love your husband as a reflection of Christ's love for his church. And really, one of the purposes of marriage is to bring each other to heaven. That's your job, really, as a husband and wife, to bring your spouse to heaven, to lead them closer to God, eventually to eternal life with God in heaven. And then also, to, if you're blessed with children, to educate and to bring them up in the faith, that they too will one day be with God forever in heaven. And what a beautiful thing that is, that marriage is ordained towards eternal life in heaven, to bring your spouse and your children one day to be with God forever. So in today's gospel, the Pharisees asked Jesus, is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife? It says they were trying to trap Jesus, to put him to the test. And what did the Lord say? He said, what did Moses command you? Notice they don't answer it directly. They say Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her. Well, Jesus said, Well, that was because of the hardness of the people's hearts in those days. If you study the Old Testament, you'll find that when a woman married a man, they gave a dowry, which was her inheritance. And what was happening in those days was that oftentimes, if the husband was dissatisfied with his wife, he would just dismiss her and keep the inheritance. So Moses, to protect the woman's rights, would say, no, you have to do it officially if you're going to have that divorce. So we need to make sure that the woman had the inheritance to be able to live off of. So it was really protecting the human rights, in this case, of the woman. That's why, in rare cases, Moses permitted this decree of divorce. But then the Lord clarifies things and takes it back to the very beginning of creation. And he said, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, cling to his wife, and the two shall become as one. So now the Lord gives his teaching on marriage, which reiterates the teaching of Genesis. And namely, first of all, is that Jesus says, God made them male and female. So the very definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. So the Catholic Church will never change and just can never change its teaching on marriage between a man and a woman. It'll never change its definition of what true marriage is. Even though other religions may change their teachings about what makes up a marriage or a family, the Church will always remain faithful to Christ and the teachings of Christ on what it says here in the Bible. The marriage is between male and female. Now, just as a little side note, what do we do and how do we respond to those who have the homosexual orientation? The Church says that we need to treat each and every person, no matter what their religion, their race, their color, their orientation, we need to treat each and every person with Christian charity and with the dignity that they are a creation of God. And we always need to respect the dignity of each and every person, no matter what their religious background or their race or nationality. As Christian charity, we must treat people. But of course, we do not approve of immoral activity or immoral behavior. There's a difference. We love the person, but we do not approve of the sin. And so if somebody has the heavy cross of homosexuality, we pray for them, we love them, and we encourage them to pray every day, to read their Bible, to attend church, and to only have pure, chaste, Christian, Christ-like friendships, and not to go into immoral behavior or activity. We respect the dignity of each person, but we can never approve of immoral activity or behavior. And so we pray for them in the heavy crosses that they carry, that they will maintain pure, chaste friendships with others. And so, but we can never call that kind of relationship a marriage, because by definition, in our faith and in the Bible, it says today, marriage is between a man and a woman. Then the Lord says that the man leaves his father and mother, is joined to his wife, and the two become one. They become one in body, in mind, in heart, and in soul. And there, that's a union that exists between husband and wife that lasts until death do they part. And it says, what God has joined, man must not divide. So marriage is an indissoluble gift from God. Well, then it says the disciples questioned Jesus privately about this. Apparently, it was a difficult, challenging teaching even for them. So the Lord then has to reiterate God's view of marriage, God's teaching of marriage. And he says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. If she marries and divorces her husband and marries again, she commits adultery. So the Bible is clear, and the Church has always upheld this indissolubility of holy matrimony. Well, sometimes people then question, well, where does the annulment process come in? Well, the annulment process is to determine whether or not that couple was truly joined in the eyes of God and in the eyes of the Church from the very beginning. Now, sometimes when two people make their vows in the Church, they might have an impediment to getting married. Maybe they're putting some sort of an obstacle to a true marriage. And that's what the annulment process is trying to discover. Was there some essential ingredient that needed to be there to make it a true marriage that was lacking? If that's the case, then the church can say a true marriage in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the church, a sacramental marriage, never existed from the beginning. The church is not saying that a true marriage is being wiped away. It's saying that there was something from the beginning that rendered that marriage invalid from the start. And so the church is just declaring that it was that way from the beginning. And that enables the person then to enter into their first true marriage at that point, if they so desire. But normally marriage is until death do we part. Unless, of course, it can be proven through the testimony of witnesses and other interviews and a lengthy process to determine whether or not God had actually joined that couple in the first place. So, and then the gospel concludes by talking about children and how appropriate it is that this passage follows right upon Jesus' teaching about marriage, because children flow from the marital union of husband and wife. And it says that people wanted to bring their children up to have Jesus bless them, but the disciples were saying, no, keep them away. It says Jesus became angry with the disciples. You know, that's the only time in the Bible that Jesus got angry with his disciples. He got angry at the scribes and Pharisees. He got angry at the money changers. But here, he gets angry at the disciples for not allowing the children to come to him. And he says, let the children come to me. Do not prevent them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And again, the church has always upheld the beauty of each and every human life from the moment of conception until natural death, that children are a blessing, a gift from God, and we need to accept them generously and willingly in our in life. And so today, of course, is Respect Life Sunday, when we pray for a greater appreciation for the sanctity of human life at every stage, from the moment of conception until natural death. And there are many things in our society in which people say no to God or no to children. And perhaps through abortion or artificial contraception or sterilization, they are saying do not. And they're saying no to God in some way or another. But Jesus says, let the children come unto me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So the church has always upheld that life is a precious gift, that every child's life is a blessing from Almighty God. So today's gospel is all about marriage and the great good of marriage and how it brings about a union and indissolubility, but also about the rich blessing of children. And today I hope all of you will join us on Respect Life Sunday to show our respect for life during the life chain, which will be at 2 o'clock up at the shopping center at the corner of Linton Hall and Route 29. We'll gather at 2 o'clock. We're going to say the rosary together, and then we'll line along the sidewalk with our signs showing our respect for life, trying to raise people's awareness as they drive by about the importance of defending each and every human life, because we are all made in God's image and likeness, and every life is so precious, every life is so special. So today we pray for marriages, a strengthening of marriages, and a greater respect for human life at every stage. God bless you.